Hi, this is Corey Turner, and along with my wife Simone, we are the senior pastors of Pneuma Church. I wanted to thank you for listening to our podcast today. You're about to hear a message from one of our team that we pray builds your faith and empowers you to follow Jesus more closely. Enjoy the message.
Today, I really do. I want to speak to us about, I can't put a quantity against how critical this issue is in our life as Christians. We dismiss some stuff that is so fundamental as like it's almost Sunday school. We go, you know, preacher, it's Sunday school stuff. We're way beyond that. But I want to tell you, I don't know actually of a more important subject matter for a Christian to get a revelation, not information, that's very different. Who knows, information goes into your head and it gets processed over a coffee. You can have a conversation with a friend over information and over theology. Revelation goes into your spirit. You eat it, you digest it, you become it, it becomes you, you live it out, you experience the intent of God when there is revelation. So I'm just praying for the spirit of wisdom and revelation to invade not a written word, but the rhema, the spirit of a living God, drop it into our spirits. Could we unite over that prayer? Father, in the name of Jesus, we don't ask for infotainment. We don't ask for more Christian information. We ask you, Holy Spirit, deposit the eternal truths, transfer them from the spirit realm into our spirit. Transfer the truth that lives and abides in Messiah Jesus into every single one of us. That the entrance of your word would give light in the name of Jesus. Break the fangs of the devil and exalt the name that is above every name. Amen and amen. Today I want to speak to you about the subject of the blood of revival. We are in revival month, and I really want us to kind of see what role does the blood of Jesus play when we talk about revival. And it's actually everything. See, blood in the natural, as we know it, like, you know, to test if a person is healthy or unhealthy, you get a blood test. The content of your blood determines lots of things, but as it is in the natural, so it is actually in the spiritual. God has got so much to say about blood. Now, sometimes Christians hear that and they cringe. It's not relevant. But the devil is a liar. This is the most important subject matter for any human to embrace, understand, digest, become. It is about the blood. Right from the day of Cain and Abel, right through to temple sacrifices, right through to the blood of Calvary, right through to eternity, according to Revelations chapter 13, God has got so much to say about the blood. Matter of fact, 700 times in Scripture, God talks about the blood. Now, come on. If God is saying something 700 times, come on. Then the church has got to listen. Then the people of God have got a revelation. It must be so important to God that the Holy Spirit consistently talks about the blood. The blood, when we talk about revival, is the sum total of revival. And I'm going to show you that through Scripture in just a moment. The fullness of revival could only be experienced by the power of the blood of Jesus. There is no other way. There is no other method. The Apostle Paul in the book of Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7 says that in him, in Jesus, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his glory. Redemption does not mean just forgiveness. Redemption means the complete buyback from God. God brought your entire life, everything about you, back to original condition by the blood. And he reinstated original condition by blood. And we'll see that as we progress that. I'd love for us to platform our conversation from the book of Exodus chapter 12. If you'd open up with me to the book of Exodus chapter 12. And we're going to start reading from verse 21. It says, Moses called for the elders of Israel and said to them, pick out and take lambs for yourselves according to your families, kill the Passover lamb. You shall take a bunch of hyssop, dip it in the blood that is in the basin, strike the lintel and the two doorposts with the blood that is in the basin. None of you shall go out the door of his house until morning, for the Lord will pass through, strike the Egyptians, and when he sees the blood on the lintel and on the two doorposts, the Lord will pass over the door and not allow. I really want you, if you've got your Bible here, please underline that. Please highlight it. And will not allow the destroyer to come into your house. The Lord will pass over when he sees the blood and will not allow the destroyer to come into your houses to strike you. You shall observe this thing as an ordinance for you and your sons forever. It will come to pass when you come to the land which the Lord will give you, just as he promised, that you shall keep this service. I just want to give us a little bit of context before we talk about it some more. The first bit of context that I want to give us is at this point in time, Israel has been in slavery over 400 years. We're not talking about one generation of slave mindset. We're talking not two generations or three or four. We are talking 20 generations of slave mindset. 20 generations of living as a slave. 20 generations of knowing that you are repressed and that you live inside your box. 20 generations of knowing that you have no rights. 20 generations of being a servant and never enjoying. You watch the Egyptians worship God, but you can't worship your God. 20 generations, not one, not two, not three. Over 400 years. Can you see the depth of slavery? Can you see how entrenched it must have been in Israel? And now here's the thing. God does a whole heap of stuff. We all know of the 10 plagues, right? So God demonstrates his power. There was all kinds of negotiations with Pharaoh, who is symbolic of the devil. All kinds of negotiations. He would taste God's power. This is Pharaoh. He would taste of God's power and he'd kind of relent. But then he'd come back again, and guess what? The slavery would become worse. Do you know how many Christians live like that? Do you know how many Christians taste the power of God, experience the power of God, experience encounters with God, and they kind of make movement forward. They kind of move forward, and it kind of feels like freedom for a little while, but all of a sudden, they find themselves back in the same box. Back under the same generational curse, back in the same slavery, back in the same patterns of living. And we wonder, we go, okay, where did it go wrong? What am I actually doing wrong? This is why this is actually the most important subject matter to a Christian's freedom, the blood. Because it was only at the application of blood that we read in verse 22, that once the blood was applied, it says, I will not allow the destroyer. You know what that means? That means, here's the number one thing that I really need us to grasp. The number one thing is that the blood does not allow the destroyer access to your life. Literally. No access to your life. None at all. It literally puts a line and it says, now we're not talking about the power of God. We're not talking about the miracles of God or the intervention of God. We are talking about the divine wisdom of God from day dot till this very day. Behind the bloodline, there is no access to the devil. If I am behind the bloodline, the devil cannot enter. The destroyer cannot touch. Whatever in my life is behind the bloodline, the devil cannot touch. Now, that's got nothing to do with your morality. That's got nothing to do with your ethical adherence to the commandments of God. That's got nothing to do with how well you are performing in your Christian journey. It has 100% everything to do, is it behind the blood or not? If it's behind the blood, the destroyer cannot touch it. So when it comes to generational curses, you can wrestle your heart out with a generational curse. You can pray, you can fast, you can... I'm telling you, it's only a matter of time until you're back in the cage. But the blood ends the generational curse. According to Galatians chapter 3 and verse 13, that Christ became a curse for us. Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Christ became a curse for us so that you and I no longer, because of the blood, have to experience generational curses. Matter of fact, it says that the blessing of Abraham might come upon us. So behind the blood, curses end. Curses end. No matter how many years they've been in your family. My dad's an alcoholic, my granddad's an alcoholic, my great-grand, I don't care what they are, because behind the blood, all of that, like that, no access. No access. But my mum has heart disease, and my grandma's got heart disease, and mum's got cancer, and great-grandma's got... Behind the blood, all of that stops. No access. Access denied. Every generational curse denied. How does the Lord heal? Well, according to Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 5, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, by his blood, you are healed. Yeah, okay, what does that mean? That I can't get a cold? No, it doesn't mean that. There is the natural attrition of the body. There is all of it. We acknowledge all of it. However, there is also something else. There are spirits of infirmity. It's in Scripture. Come on, we have to become more biblical in our faith. There are spirits of infirmity. You can open up a door. You know, that's why it says give no foothold to the devil, where the devil can actually come in and begin to harass you even physically. Jesus used to cast out spirits of infirmity, but here's what I'm saying. Spirits will have no access to your body behind the blood. Your body comes behind the blood, covered by the blood, and then demonic can't touch. What am I saying to you? I'm saying demons don't have any access behind the blood to anything in your life, whether it's your body, whether it's your kids, whether it's your hope or your future, whether it's your possessions, whatever it is, if it's behind the bloodline, I will not allow the destroyer to touch it. That's what the Word of God says. I told this congregation, I shared a little bit of my testimony a few years ago, how I nearly died and I was in this particular hospital. I won't go through it now, but at that point, when a room filled up with angels, I recall feeling the power of the blood of Jesus. I was like, whoa! And I realized there is nothing for the rest of my life that I could say about the blood of Jesus that could ever do the blood of Jesus justice. I can't articulate it. I wish there were words that God would give me, there are no words. I mean, when you feel the power of the blood and you stand like a radiant sun, not because of you, but because of the blood. When you stand without guilt because of the blood, it's all because of the blood. When you stand in an open-faced relationship with God, because of the blood. Even at the point of death, that's why. 1 Corinthians 15, 54, all the way through to 58, the Apostle Paul says this. He says, O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? Do you know when you get to the point of transitioning, you people have all this nonsense that they say about what happened. I want to tell you, it is the most beautiful, seamless, fearless moment of your life. It is so seamless. One moment, and then the next moment, all the glory of Almighty God is all over. Why? But the blood. That's why we're able to say, oh, death. People are afraid of this. I tell you what. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, Hades, where is your victory? Why? The blood, the blood, the blood, the blood, the blood, blood of Jesus. Let me tell you this, when I say that the enemy has to get behind the bloodline. Let me tell you this. One of the most important things that we needed a revelation of, behind the blood, the enemy cannot accuse you. Cannot accuse you. Cannot bring a charge against you. Sometimes we agree with the lies of the enemy and we live with a guilty conscience. As a matter of fact, I'm going to share this as sensitively as I can. So in worship, I'm just going to put it out there. I'm going to keep my eyes closed so it's not directed toward anyone. But in worship, I really felt the Lord say that there is somebody here who has had an abortion. And you've never fully been able to forgive yourself. You think you kind of have, but it keeps coming up and you keep wrestling with it. And you think that it's in the past, and it's exactly that. You kind of like go on, but then all of a sudden, it's back again. You kind of feel guilty again. It just hasn't been uprooted. And the Holy Spirit said, like, this is the day that I just want you to know the power of my blood and that you are totally released from that. You are not a murderer. You are not a murderer. And it is completely and fully under the blood of Jesus. The enemy can't accuse you. The enemy can't accuse you. The enemy has no words to say against you. See, in the book of Zechariah, chapter 3, Joshua, the high priest, what we find is this. We find that he was standing in the presence of the Lord, and then all of a sudden, Satan appears and is about to begin to accuse him, is about to begin to say he has no right to access to the throne of God. He has no right to a life of divine favor. He has no right to divine intervention or divine presence. He has no right because he is a sinner. And we see that scene in the heavenlies take place. And then the Lord answers. Listen to this. Lord answers. Lord said to Satan, the Lord rebuke you, Satan. You know what that means? It means the Lord silence you. It means that in my presence, only the blood speaks. You don't speak. I have silenced you. Only the blood speaks. That's why in the book of Hebrews, it talks about the blood of Jesus, which speaks better things than that of Abel. So between us and God the Father, there is only one advocate, the Bible says, only one spokesperson, and it is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He stands in the gap by his blood. I am seen through the blood of Christ. Therefore, silence is imposed on the enemy and the avenger. He is not allowed to speak to God about you. That's why the book of Romans, chapter 8 and verse 33 says, who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies, meaning no demon in hell, nothing can bring a charge against the blood-washed son or daughter. That's why in the book of Revelations, chapter 1 and verse 5, it says, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and made us kings and priests. You and I don't need to live with a guilty conscience. You know why? Because we're blood washed. No charge against you. Isn't that beautiful? There is no charge against you. Accept no lie of the devil. You know what we need to do when the devil reminds us is do this. Go, shh. The Lord rebuke you. Only the blood speaks for me. You shut your mouth, only the blood speaks. No accusation. Satan will always try to remind you of your frailties and weaknesses and your undeserving and lies from hell. Shh, the Lord rebuke you. Shh. Shh. Seriously. I mean it. Only the blood speaks. Only the blood speaks. Only the blood has right to speak, not Satan. That's why, as a Christian, you and I need to be free in our conscience. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews, chapter 9 and verse 14, how much the blood cleanses us from our conscience. It says, how much more shall the blood of Christ cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? The blood of Christ cleanses my conscience. says, shh, the Lord rebuke you, to Satan, and off I go. So I want you to know, the capacity of the enemy to accuse you is completely, has no access. He will not allow the destroyer. The capacity to the enemy to accuse you is totally stopped by the power of the blood. No access. I need us to get this in our spirit. The blood gives demons no access. No access to your conscience. No access to your relationship to God. No access to your kids. No access to your possessions. No access to your finance. No access to your property. No access. Access denied. Pastor Joel last week spoke about the password. I'm telling you now, I'm giving you the lock. No access. No access by the blood. We have tolerated the fingerprints of Satan and so many things in our life. We have done a fair negotiation. But the Lord is reminding the church, no access. I didn't shed blood so demons could have access to your life. No access. No access to your mind. No access to your body. No access. Because of the blood. None whatsoever. I want you to see this. I want you to see the power of the Word of God, how incessantly the Holy Spirit says this in the book of Zechariah, chapter 9. If you'd open up to the book of Zechariah, chapter 9, if you're not opening up, at least take it down. These things are not just information. They need to go into our spirit. Book of Zechariah, chapter 9. Verse 11 says, as for you also, have a look at this. Because of the blood of my covenant with you, I will set your prisoners free from the waterless pit. Now, you know what the waterless pit is? In scripture, whenever a waterless pit, it's sometimes said because it physically was, other times like this time, it's a depiction of a greater truth. The depiction of the greater truth is a waterless pit is the apex of misery and bondage. Example, in the book of Jeremiah chapter 37, he was thrown into a waterless pit. And if you read that chapter, it describes it as the apex of misery and bondage. You cannot be in a deeper bondage. You cannot be in a worse misery. You know what the Holy Spirit says? He says, of the covenant of blood, I'm going to set you free even if you're in the apex of misery and bondage. 400 years of bondage, yet one drop of the blood sets the whole thing into motion. I was telling the first service not long ago, I was praying with this lady at a particular service. And as I was praying with her, demons started to leave. And praise be to God. But you know, that's all good and that happens. But what was a little bit different about this was it kept on happening. It was like one after the other, after the other, after the other, after the other, to the point where, honestly, after a few minutes, I was like getting a little bit tired. I'm like, my goodness. It was getting a bit hectic, but, there's a person's freedom at stake, so it's important. And I heard the Spirit of God say, apply the blood. And I'm like, okay. So I actually called some of the team and I said, hey, could we just bring some communion? It wasn't about the ritual. Please don't misunderstand. It's not about the ritual. It's about the blood of Jesus, right? We took communion and we then in prayer and invoking the name of the Messiah, the risen one, as well as the blood of the covenant that sets prisoners free from the waterless pit. I'm telling you, within just moments of that, literally there was just like this boom and a whole bunch of them all at once left her completely. Why? Because that's exactly what the blood of Jesus does. That's the power of the blood. That blood cannot be negotiated with demons. There is no negotiation. They bow the knee. They put their forehead to the ground because of the blood. The blood, the blood, the blood. The blood gives no access. I want to tell you that hell trembles at the blood of Jesus Christ, there is no force, collective force, that could ever withstand one drop of the blood of Calvary over your life and my life. There is no access from any demonic force against the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus, I just need us to know this, says to the devil, you need to remember this, says to the devil, shh. No access. Access denied. Locked. No access. I will not allow the destroyer to come in and strike your homes. No access because of the blood. But here's the beautiful thing about the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus doesn't just stop access to the devil. It opens up all the access to God over your life. Complete open access over your life. You know, it's a funny thing when Israel, they want to worship God, but right up till that point, that's why the Lord said to them in the book of Exodus chapters 5 and 6, he would say to Pharaoh, let my people go that they may serve me in the wilderness. And in chapter 6, let my people go that they may worship me. They couldn't enjoy the presence of God. They couldn't experience the presence of God. They couldn't experience the sufficiency and the power of his delightful presence. They couldn't. Do you know how many Christians live like that? They're forgiven, but they're just not enjoying the unleashing of heaven. See, soon as the blood was applied, not only was Satan silenced, Pharaoh defeated, but all of a sudden, the people of Israel started to experience the presence of God in an incredible way that they never stopped. Immediately, they begin this journey where there's a fire, a pillar of fire by night and a cloud by day that was God's presence. Anybody been to Sinai? Anybody been to that part of the world? I had the privilege of going once. And I want to tell you, at night, it is freezing. Seriously, it is freezing. It's Alaska, it's freezing. By day, honestly, it is so hot. Like, of course, you're not wearing socks, but if you did, your socks, you could just twist them and they'd just be sweat. Like, it's a scorcher. It is stinking hot, like nothing you ever experience. Isn't it interesting that at night, the Lord is a pillar of fire, and that by day, he's a cloud? Isn't it interesting that the Lord would air condition the desert? What am I saying? I'll tell you what I'm saying. I'm saying that Israel realized that not only was God so beautifully near and near protection, but they realized that that presence was everything in their life. It was the all-sufficiency. In that presence was all the provisions of heaven. In that presence was all the majesty and the glory of the one who is present in the presence. And I want to tell you that is precisely what the Lord has done for the church. Where God is not drip feeding his presence to the church. God has torn the veil by the blood so that there could be an outpouring. So that by night you're living in a flame of fire. And by day, there's a pillar and a cloud over your head. There's the glory of the presence of God. You sleep at night and you feel the presence of the Lord. You wake up in the morning and there's rivers flowing through you. You're walking in the shopping center and Emmanuel, God with us, is kind of all over you. The presence, open access. That's our address. Since the blood has come, that's our address. Would you open up with me? We're going to open up to the book of Ephesians chapter 2. Have a look at this. Because I'm not talking about Old Testament. Old Testament is only a shadow, a depiction, so that we can understand the things that Christ has accomplished. Book of Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 11. Remember that you once Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, made in the flesh by hands, that at that time you were without. There was a time when we were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, no hope, without God in the world. But now,
Now in Christ, you who once were afar off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Hello. You know what the apostle is teaching? He said that once upon a time, your life and my life was without promises. It was without hope. It was without direction. As a matter of fact, it was without Christ. It was without God altogether. But, thank you, Lord. One of the most significant words in all of Scripture is that three-letter word. But, hang on. There's a God intervention here. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were afar off, that's you and I, what? Have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Can you see that? You're not just given access, you are brought right to the throne room. That's what it says in the book of Hebrews chapter 10. That we are brought into the most holy, the holiest of all, by the blood of Christ. You can have full access to all that is God, to the full presence of God. Why? Because of the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus is everything when it comes to giving you and I access to all that God has purchased. Every spiritual gift is because of the blood of Jesus. Every nearness to the Father is because of the blood of Jesus. You know, once upon a time, how do we be friends with Feast God? He's such a holy God and I'm a sinner. But Jesus said, I don't call you servants, because he was going to shed blood. A servant doesn't know what his master is doing, but now I've called you friends. That's how much access there is. Access that the Lord becomes best mates with us. That's the lot of every Christian. Now, okay. So you're telling us that's what revival is. You're telling us it closes the door on all demons in our life. You're telling us it opens up all of the floodgates of heaven and the presence of God over our life. Well, I'm a believer. I love the Lord. I believe in the blood of Jesus. Why is that not my experience? That's a really good question. I'm glad we're here. Yeah, why is that not my experience? I'll tell you why. If you have a look in verse 22 of Exodus 12, the Lord commands, kill the Passover, but he just doesn't say kill the Passover. You shall take a bunch of hyssop. That's what he says. So that's just a little bush, a common bush, nothing special about it. Dip it in the blood that is in the basin and strike the lentil. Do you know what the Lord was saying? It's not good enough for the blood to be shed. The blood has to be applied. I want to tell you that as a Christian, the blood was shed on Calvary. But the blood shed on Calvary, blood in the basin, is very different to blood applied. Blood in the basin will do you no good. Blood in the basin remains in the basin. That's not how it works. There's a little part that the Christian needs to do, but it's a critical part. I tell you now, if they didn't take the hyssop and apply the blood, they would be dead. The devil would have all the access to their life. The destroyer would come into their life and he would have his way in their life. Because blood in the basin is not the same as blood applied. Do you know how many Christians live with blood in the basin? Big doors swing on little hinges. A major difference can happen in our life if we just make that switch. If we make that switch, if we switch. Now, the sprinkling of blood is not an Old Testament thing. I want you to see that. Then I'm going to tell you in just a moment how to actually sprinkle blood on your life. Okay, first book of Peter chapter 1. Open up with me. Apostle Peter. First book of Peter chapter 1. The first thing that he says to those who believe. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the pilgrims, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, in sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience and sprinkling. Can you see that? Can you see that that's a New Testament thing? He says, okay, if you're a believer, you are called to the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus. That's why David knew the difference. You know, King David, when he committed adultery, you know, King David, when he committed murder, he didn't just repent. He didn't just say, sorry, God. You know what he said in his Psalm 51 and verse 7, the Psalm of Repentance, he said, purge me with hyssop. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Do you know what that means? It means that in the spirit realm, he took it out of the basin and applied it to his situation. That's all he did. He was like, okay, this has to be applied. The sacrifice is not enough. Sacrificed, applied is more than enough. Okay, now we come to another critical question. How do I actually apply? How do I, in the New Testament, apply the blood of sprinkling? How do I apply everything that's happened at Calvary to my life? How do I put my family under the blood? How do I put my health under the blood? How do I put my future under the blood? How do I put my mind under the blood? I was telling the first service, I genuinely do this because I believe it so much with all of my heart. Even my dog is under the blood. I get that from scripture, because the Lord protected Israel under the blood and all their livestock. So even their property was like no access. Shh, devil. No evil shall befall anything that's behind the bloodline. How do I do that? You know, it's interesting because we read in the book of Revelations a very important key verse. Chapter 12 and verse 11. It says that we overcame the devil by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. The blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And did not love our lives to the death. What is the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony? See, you and I need to testify personally. This is important. To what the word of God says about the blood of Jesus and what it has done for us. It needs to be your confession. Do you know what I mean by confession? The word confession means to say the same. When we say the same as what God says about the blood, we experience the sprinkling of blood. That's why it's written of Jesus in the book of Hebrews, chapter 3 and verse 1, that he is the apostle and high priest of our confession. Whatever you confess about the blood of Jesus, he becomes the high priest for. Can you see that? What's he going to be high priest of if you're not confessing anything about the blood? Matter of fact, we come into alignment with what the devil says rather than what God says about the blood. So, you know, you need to bring your confession. I need to bring my confession all under the blood. Bring your body under the blood. Say, my body is under the blood of Jesus Christ. Satan will not touch it, but God will have access to it. Bring your daily prayer walk under the blood. I don't walk into God's presence every morning as I love to sit with him in the mornings. I don't just walk in and say, hey, morning. G'day. I do sometimes, but that's not usually what happens. I'm just so conscious that I've been completely washed by the blood of Jesus, that there is no frown from heaven, but there's a beautiful smile from the King of Kings. You know why? Not because I've been all good and deserve it, but because of the blood. He washed me in his blood. I'm blood washed. Inside out, I'm blood washed. My body is blood washed. My soul is blood washed. My spirit is blood washed. I'm under the blood. To him who loved us and washed us from our sins and made us kings and priests, he washed us in his own blood. I'm washed. You're washed. So these are the declaration. Bring everything under the blood. Bring your children under the blood. Bring their mental health under the blood. Bring their future under the blood. Bring your property under the blood. Bring everything that you are and have and will be under the blood. Your relationship to God, under the blood. The Father is smiling on you. Why? Because of the blood. The Father wants to give you every spiritual gift. Why? Because of the blood. You are not a second grade citizen in the kingdom of heaven. You are blood washed. You have full access to all that has been purchased. How much more shall he not freely with him give us all things? Why? Because of the blood. Cool. All right, worship team, if you can join me. I want to remind us in conclusion. Psalm 107 and verse 2 says, let the redeemed of the Lord, who here is redeemed? I need you to give me a wave.
I'm not stopping until you genuinely wait. Some of you are like, I ain't getting off you today. I'm telling you. Who's here is redeemed? Show me a hand if you are redeemed. You should have both hands up and both feet up. You should, because the blood of Jesus, I'm telling you, if I can put all everything up at this moment, I would. I'm telling you, there is nothing better than to be bought by the blood. You know what it says? Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Not enough to be redeemed. Not enough for the blood to be in the basin. The blood must be applied. Sons on the... Situations that have been locked up, bring them under the blood and watch what the Lord will do. Israel, 400 years, but then apply the blood and watch what happens. Same Pharaoh, same situation, same generational stuff. It happened to my dad and it happened to my great-grand. Yeah. I'll get all of that. But the blood. That's why I'm telling you the fullness of revival is in the blood. Because if we apply the blood, guess what happened? The Lord rebuke you. Shh. No access to demons in your life. No access. Because I'm behind the blood. He will not allow the destroyer. Not allowed. No access. But the blood, as we saw, we have been brought near by the blood of Christ. We were without hope, without promises, without a future, without God. But now brought near by the blood of Christ. Heaven could be my life. You know, I don't have to wait to heaven. The fullness of the presence of God is right here. Do you not know that you are a temple of God and the Spirit of God actively occupies you? Why? Because of the blood. Yeah. When can the Lord God Almighty pour out the Holy Spirit with power? When the people get behind the bloodline. That's when. But we need to sprinkle. Need to apply. My brother Carl, the Lord, in 2 weeks, you shall have a breakthrough in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. The Lord is furious with the enemy. I need you to know that. The Lord is for you and furious with the enemy. Furious. He has trespassed. He has taken places that are in the redeemed. All I need is to do is to stop aligning with the liar and to align with the one who is the way, the truth, and the life. And we shall see so much turnaround. We shall see the glory of God in the land of the living. Turnaround anointing is in this place in the name of Jesus.
Thank you for joining us for this message today. We don't assume that every person listening has a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And so today, we invite you to begin following Jesus as your Lord and Savior. The Bible teaches that every one of us has been created for a relationship with God. Sin has separated us from that relationship, but God loved us so much that He gave us His one and only Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus lived, died, and rose again, conquering sin, Satan, and death itself. If we believe in our hearts that God has raised Jesus from the dead, and we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, we will be saved. So if you are ready to pray in faith, turning away from your sin and believing in Jesus for your salvation, please pray this prayer. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God, and I ask you to forgive me and cleanse my heart from all of my sin. I receive by faith the free gift of eternal life, and I ask that you would fill me with the Holy Spirit. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that you have made me a new creation in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you have prayed that prayer for the first time, we would love to know and help connect you to a local church in your area. You can contact us on our website, pneuma.church. Thank you for listening.